We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm excited to talk lawn projects, like big construction projects, because now's the time for people to do it.
And I'm very excited.
Didn't they greenlight Borat too?
It comes out in a week, I think.
Saw a trailer for it during the Braves game last night.
Oh, I thought it was like they just greenlit this movie. And I'm a movie guy.
He's been filming it during quarantine. He like trolled some MAGA rally. News about that, like, I don't know, 5 months ago. But that made it into the film.
Did you guys, when did you see Borat?
When it came out, the day it came out in theaters.
Same. It was me, like another teammate, and then like five baseball players. We like piled into my buddy Gary's expedition, and we all went and saw it on like a matinee the day it came out.
Nice.
Funny-ass movie, man.
Yeah.
It was.
I took a girl on a date, one of the first movie dates I ever went on.
Baby. Really?
You like a movie date?
It's okay. I worked in a movie theater was my first job, so I got to see movies for free and shit.
Sure.
So I'm a little movie dated out, to be honest with you.
See, movie. So I had a bunch of friends that worked at our movie theater. I think Crown Point Theater in Charlotte at Monroe and Sardis Road, Sardis Road North. Excuse me, not the Sardis Road North, not Sardis Road. From Monroe and Sardis Road.
Uh-huh.
But so we saw movies for free constantly.
Right.
And if you bring your own container, they'll just put popcorn in it. Cause like that's
part of the, I was told when I interviewed that was one of those were my benefits. They were like, we don't offer health insurance, but you get free popcorn and soda and free movies.
Yeah.
Like tell me where to sign.
Yeah. Tell me where to sign. I'm 15. Give it to me, baby.
But like, we would just
the
bring
box
our
office
old
girls cute too. I'll take it.
Baby,
we used to keep the bags folded, like the bags of popcorn, the popcorn bags folded up, and you could just put it in your back pocket.
Yep.
Walk into the movies, pull that bag out, give it to your friend, and then they fill it up with popcorn.
Yep, that's how we did it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then at the end of the night, like if someone had to work, then they would just come with the big garbage bag of popcorn to the party.
Oh yeah, we done that.
Oh yeah,
I've got a movie theater take, by the way.
Okay, this is all in the show too. So
no, it's not a hot take. It's just movie theaters are going through a rough patch right now, right?
They were going through a rough patch pre-COVID.
I would like to buy low on movie theater franchises, and what I mean by that is it's going to come back, and it's going to come back in a big way.
Okay,
it's all cyclical. It's like record stores right now.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of like owning a vinyl collection 10, 15 years ago was absurd. I mean, what's the value in
we
that?
Have
look
CDs.
At yeah,
we Why
have
we
CDs, we have mini discs, we have all these things. Like people are going to get to a place where they're sick of being at home and they want what you're talking about, Felder, the movie theater popcorn, the experience. Like it'll come back, it'll be different. But in like 10 or 15 years, movie theaters will be rocking, man. I'm here.
We'll see. I tend to disagree simply because I think a lot of folks are so high on the idea of things being cheap and free based on streaming. And like, why can't I just get it on streaming? And I don't want to, like, the backlash that people had of paying $30 to watch Mulan. I was like, this is a $100 million movie. Like, you know that they have to make the money back. And that doesn't even include this is probably a $180 million movie based on the marketing budget too.
Also, you would have spent $100 if you went to the movie theater to see it with your entire
family. Someone. So here's my hot take. I don't like movie theater dates. I think that sitting in a dark room and not talking, I don't know that that's a good date.
It's for established relationships.
There we go. Let's grow. Welcome into Hand in the Dirt, gardening podcast about football. I'm your host, Michael Felder. I got my co-host riding with me. We got El Cerberino, Michael Cerber.
Yeah.
And then we've got our guy, the man, the guy. You're going to lead this show, Stephen Hartzell, because we're talking yard construction, and you just had some construction done.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, Chet Hanks, excuse me.
I did have some yard construction done, and I can thankfully say...
Is that a word?
Gladfully?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Let's look it up.
It's over. Although, I got mud around the playground, and I think I'm going to have to sod it, Felder.
What do you mean you have mud around the playground? So, okay, you know what? Save it for when we get into construction talk. We also have Martin Rickman from Dime Magazine coming on and Uproxx. So we will get to the yard construction talk because it's fascinating to me to see what people do to the yards, whether it's putting in trees, putting in beds. Obviously, Meredith, shout out to Meredith, who's looking, she sent over the schematic for putting in her cottage garden. So we're going to talk lawn construction projects and like do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts and all those things. Let's start though. Let's kick it off. Garden update. I took your advice, Hartzell, from a week ago, and I pulled off some of the bigger peppers that I had.
Yeah, you pulled off the big boys. How are they?
They're really good. The ones that the sweet peppers are really sweet. Like, I am very excited to char them and like let that sweetness come out and throw, whether it's on a pizza with the char or you throw them on top of something, but they're really, really sweet and really, really good.
That's awesome. And you've got what, 30, 40 more?
Yeah. I think right now we're probably, because some of them have dropped off. We've had some really bad wind here. The temperatures are changing rapidly. So a couple have dropped off and like fallen on the ground. And guess what? Not picking those up. They're in my container. If they fall into the container garden, I'll pick them up and wash them off. But if they fall onto the ground, like in the words of what, Future Hendrix, you belong to the streets.
Yeah, and your streets specifically, rats, baby.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just, you know, it's like investing in good Halloween candy this time of the year. You want to invest in the kids, right, yeah, in your neighborhood. You want to show the future generations that you are not to be fucked with. So if you give out shitty candy, you're inviting yourself to get fucked with later in life. Don't do that, new homeowners. Invest in the youth, baby.
I love that. Is that so? We're going to divert from the garden update because, by the way, my spinach is starting to look like actual spinach, which I'm super proud about. I also have a problem with the sun because. So let me. Can I explain my configuration to you? Basically, yeah. From where I'm sitting right now at my dinner table recording this, to my left is the kitchen. To my right is the deck through the sliding glass door. Out in front of the deck. And underneath the deck is my garage. In front of the deck is my car where we park in front of our garage because it won't fit in the garage because it's a 4Runner and these were all built for Ford Fiestas.
Hey. I love that it won't really, it just won't fucking fit.
Well, if we close the windows, it can get into the garage. We will not be able to get out of the car. And don't even talk about trying to put a kid in a car in there.
What?
You realize that like there's like one or two American car companies that are still making sedans?
Yeah.
Like nobody makes sedans anymore.
Right.
It's over. And unlike the movie theaters, it's not coming back. Sedans are dead. They're dead.
I'm watching a movie, Daylight, by what is his name? Rocky. Sylvester Stallone. And literally it's just sedan, 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 sedan. The whole thing is sedans. And I look outside into my parking lot and it's SUV, 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 or what are these? The SUTs or whatever they are, the crossover vehicles.
Yeah, I'm close with those.
I don't. I will never go down in car size. I had a Trooper. I went to a 4Runner. They're roughly the same size. The next car will be one of those Hartzell big boys.
Yeah, but I mean, some of those Subarus are kind of nice, man. No.
Oh, you're crunchy.
Sure, why not?
You're crunchy. My wife would probably love a Subaru too. Like she would dig on that. When we vacationed in Maine, and oh wow, Martin Rickman's going to be on the show today. We went on a Maine vacation with Martin Rickman. Everybody had Subarus.
Yeah, I mean they're kind of played out, but they are good cars, and the resale value is quite nice.
Outback, Forester,
yeah,
whole deal.
Yeah,
great if you live in the mountains. Boone is a big Subaru town.
Yeah. Anyways, point being, I'm mapping this out for you. So to my right, we have living room. Then we go to the sliding glass door. Which, by the way, my wife calls it a door wall.
That's absurd. Who are these sick people?
I think it's some sort of a Midwest thing, maybe.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. If you've ever heard of a door wall, please tell us.
That's terrible.
Terrible. So we get to the deck, and then below the deck garage, then we have the car parked in front, and then we have this horseshoe style median, basically, to the right of the car, which is our walkway into our front door, but also the walkway into my neighbor's front door. And we have my container garden sitting right out on front. So it's getting all the sun. There's no car blocking, but the two pots that I have where I have my winter greens, I think the sun is coming through like the window. It's like going window through window to the plant or sunroof window to the plant to one pot and not to the other pot. And so one is growing considerably faster than the other. And I've got to figure out how to reconfigure that.
You can't just rotate the bed?
I mean, I guess I could move the pots around, but I want them both to get the sun.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is just, you know, the one that's on the left, move it to
it's
the
not,
right.
It's not on the left. They're like one. It's like, so we have the container bed, right? The 5 foot by 2 foot or whatever container. That's sitting long ways in the front. It's perpendicular to the car.
Ah.
And then behind that, on my side of the sidewalk, I have two pots with my winter greens. And I think my car is blocking the sun from one and not the other. So I have been playing with moving them around. I have been. And I get it. This is a first world problem of a guy that I just want my spinach to grow. And I just am trying to figure out how to get to the lights. I'm debating maybe taking over my neighbor's part of the sidewalk. She doesn't use it. And just setting them on either side, and I think they both will get a lot more sun.
Here's the thing about spinach, Felder. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the colder it gets, the slower that bad boy is going to grow, right? I mean, it's a slow grower, or am I mistaken?
It's going to grow slower, but this spinach, as we mentioned previous on the show, I bought it from Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. Yes, we got to get them right.
Put some respect on that name.
Put some respect on it.
Blah, blah. You don't work no rec. Blah, blah. Yeah.
So, but the whole thing is that it's temp resistant down to like 0 degrees. So it will keep growing. I'm not worried about it dying, but you're right. It will grow slower, which is why I want it to get more sun. Because even if it's not in the temperature, the optimal temperature, at least getting the sun's going to help it out.
Yeah.
And by the way, I looked at the clock last night and it was 6:42 here and it was pitch black.
Ooh, that's, we joked about this maybe 2 weeks ago when it was pouring down rain during an episode. That shit makes me depressed, man.
And I love it. I love it. I live for, back when I was going into the office, your boy, you couldn't tell me nothing. I loved when I would get into work at, 7:30. When I was working those long days, we did the evening show, and I would get into work about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and I would be there until 5:15 or whatever, and dark when I leave, dark when I get home.
Fucking vampire, man.
Yeah, listen, call me the daywalker, baby.
He comes out at night, mostly.
Shout out to Blade. No, you know, Blade's like the first Marvel movie. No, it's not. Howard the Duck, I think, is the first Marvel movie.
Are you talking about Wesley Snipes' Blade? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That movie fucks.
It's good.
That's a good movie, man. Special effects wise, I watched that one a lot in high school, man.
Blood Rave?
mean, I'm not super into that stuff, but I just...
Oh, you know. I would love... You didn't love the blood rave? I thought that was one of the coolest scenes that
you could
do. It
was a cool scene, yeah. Like the Matrix lobby scene is a cool scene, but I mean, yeah. I don't crave it. Yeah, it's fine.
There at least once or twice a month, I pull up on YouTube the blood rave scene.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
And I also used... I did... It's funny you mentioned the Matrix lobby scene because I did use that when I was testing out the projector.
Oh, dude.
I might have a boomerang to send to you of... Me watching the Matrix lobby scene to test the projector out, which, by the way, projector updates. Here's what we got. I'm going to use my Bose speaker with the projector. I'm going to so I got that. I want to get another Bose speaker, though, so that we can do two speakers because I got a splitter for it. So I can do two speakers, which is like that pseudo surround sound, essentially. Also, I'm going to, because last time we did the movie night, it was really rough anchoring the screen. Like the screen twisted in the wind a little bit.
Mm.
So here's what I got. I'm going to take a couple of these milk jugs. I don't think we have any empty milk jugs now, which is a weird thing because I have a kid and all she does is drink milk. But I'm going to find some empty jugs, fill them up with water, bungee cord through those, bungee cord around the bottom. And then I'll bungee cord the top to the deck and keep them in there so that the screen doesn't twist back and forth.
You know what else you could try? I mean, you got clamps. I don't know what you're – are you just doing this against like a brick wall or something? You can't clamp it on?
No, I can't clamp it on to anything. I guess I could clamp maybe the top. I do have clamps. But the problem is the screen itself, it's one of those projector – it's one of those screens that is like a self-contained unit where – the screen hooks to the thing, and then I put the top of the screen over a hook and then lift that up. And so that's the whole screen by itself. So I have to anchor it to this from the sides, and I can't, it won't, because of the tripod, especially there's not enough back behind to anchor it to something.
Yeah. You got
to
put some weight on that thing. Cerber, what's your take on the Bose speakers? Cause I'm of the belief that, I mean, is Bose still not the best speaker that money can buy for all types of, outdoor events?
Man, I didn't want to get into this, but there is some criticism of Bose. But
product quality criticism or company?
Criticism as in how their technology works. For movies, I would say Bose all the way. You can't beat it because it's very crisp and clear sounding.
It has a rich sound. That's what I noticed when I was flipping back and forth.
Right, for music, Bose, I don't want to open up a whole can of worms here, but there are those who say like Bose can adjust the overall mix and sound of the final product that you're listening to, making it then not necessarily the artist's vision of what they wanted the record to sound like.
Okay.
Interesting. I feel like a Bose soundbar is the best soundbar you can get for a TV. Like I hear you on the music stuff, Cerber, but like, I mean, audio. I mean, look, you guys live this, but like sports audio, sitcom audio, like streaming audio,
right?
Like audio is jacked these days. Like I spend so much time playing around with EQ levels on the TV, that doesn't have the Bose soundbar. The Bose soundbar, it's like, man, we're good. We're great, but all other sound bars, man, I don't know. I've just had bad luck. Maybe I've had lemons. I don't know. But
yeah, no, I think you're spot on.
I stand Bose. Did I do that right? I stand Bose.
You did it correct.
You've done it correct every single time since we told you what stand means. You got it now.
We fixed it.
I'm back, baby.
I think what I'm actually going to do is tell my, because Ryan is coming, past guest Ryan Taylor. Oh my God, they just showed a Chevy Corsica, which is a classic sedan in this movie.
That my was grandma my had car. One.
I had one.
Oh, shit.
87 Corsica, first car.
Man, all you need is a Beretta now, and then you're really rolling.
Yeah, then I'm in the business. No, I am. So I'm going to do that. I feel like I'm like not even king of the neighborhood. There's other guys that are way better at everything than me in this neighborhood, and they like being outside. I am, as most people know, I'm an inside guy because I sweat a lot. And then I don't want to wear enough clothes to, not like a naked thing, but like, I don't want to be bundled up in the cold because then I start to sweat more. So this is going to be interesting. Movie night though, We're debating between we've already decided we can't do Labyrinth. Apparently that would be too scary.
Told you. Told you.
We might not even be able to do Hocus Pocus because Ryan's wife is worried that's too scary. Even though she's never seen it.
What?
I mean, there are no words here. That's.
And can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
As a non-parent, aspiring parent to actual parents, like, if you kind of like make things seem taboo or like stay away, like, or if you make things seem like they're a big deal, won't the kid then make, like, if you make soda a big deal, like, no, you can't have soda. You can only have it from this time to this time. Won't kid then like really want soda all the time, even more than if you were just like not to make a big deal out of, yeah, you can have a soda right now. Or yeah, you can watch this movie. It's not that bad. Whereas if you're like, no, it's rated R. Ah, like then it just makes the kid want to do that even more and then hide it from you.
I mean, Hartzell.
No, I mean, the concept here is right. I mean, you're correct, Serber. It's just, I mean, there are a lot of things as a child is growing up that, I mean, it's just you're constantly on the defensive, man. That's all I'm saying. It's just it's nonstop. But yes, I'm with you on movies, man. It's just, you know, you watch it with the lights on, you make it not scary. Although I can't really turn the sun on. Rated R movies. Yeah, no, you're in a different spot because you're doing like an outdoor neighborhood thing. So, which is hilarious that you tested this out with the Matrix lobby scene, which is just incredibly violent. But I mean, more so for the sound than the visuals. Like, can you imagine being in a neighborhood and you're just hearing like bullets and just stuff? Yeah, I mean, then, yeah.
Should have went with amazing. A scene from Jarhead or something. Really sent everybody into a panic.
The one where the guy gets killed in training.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, man. Halloween movies are mostly trash anyway. So why don't you just skip it and go straight to like Home Alone? Like, why don't we get into the Christmas stuff now? Let's go.
I mean, we'll save that for another show, but I will. Oh my God. Trending on Twitter. It's snowing in Minnesota.
Well, you're next.
Oh no. Oh no.
Just in time right for there. Big Ten football season, baby.
I mean, that's going to be like, let's squeeze in some college football. This Big Ten situation is going to be bad, right?
Expand. Especially
based on what we're recording this on the Friday before the postponed LSU Florida football game, before the postponed Baylor Oklahoma State football game. And let me go back to the list because what we're seeing right now is, Nick Saban not coaching in a football game. Like, we're recording all this going into that weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the Big Ten expects that they will somehow thread the needle to get all their games in. Right now we have five postponed games. Oak State, Baylor, Cincinnati, Tulsa, LSU, Florida, Vandy, Mizzou. I forgot about Vandy and Mizzou. Mm-hmm. And then FIU and Charlotte.
So, look, the Big Ten has no wiggle room with their schedule.
None.
Nor does the Pac-12. And the issue, as I'm reading more and more literature on all this, traveling is the problem.
Okay.
Like, Saban thought that he contracted coronavirus while traveling to Oxford or from Oxford.
Are they doing it on buses or are they doing it via planes?
Both. I mean, Georgia Tech, they bused to Tallahassee to play Florida State week one. It was like six and a half hours.
I talked to my former coworker and obviously still colleague in the industry, but Kristen Balboni, she's the Panthers reporter and like the team reporter for the Panthers. And she said they took a bus to Tampa, like a 10 and a half hour bus ride.
Yeah, like that's bananas. But look, common denominator. What was the one pro sports league that did not have coronavirus issues once they restarted playing?
The NBA, being in a bubble.
Exactly. So Big Ten, you're traveling, you're in college. It's going to happen. It's affected every conference in America. There's no reason to think that it will not affect the Big Ten, which, by the way, are they going to play any games where the temperature's above like 45 degrees?
No chance.
It's going to be freezing. So
they start the week this comes out is when they're starting, correct?
That's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Ohio State, Nebraska. I won't spill the beans, but from a media standpoint, there's a lot of folks that are looking forward to Nebraska getting their brains rocked.
Yeah, Nebraska was running that mouth quite a bit.
Yeah. There's a lot of folks that are like, oh my God, I hope Ohio State wipes the floor with them.
Well, go back and look at the last several meetings. I mean, that wouldn't be unprecedented. That's commonplace. I do think Nebraska's closed the gap a little bit, but yeah. Sure. Ohio State right out of the chute. I mean, I don't know how good Ohio State's going to be this year because they haven't taken the field, but I am very excited to see them back on the field, even though we've been joking about them going up and down in the polls for the last several weeks.
No, we talked about with Andy Staples a week ago. He's like, they're going to be the best team in the Big Ten and probably one of the top four teams in the country because he gave essentially his playoff was winner of Georgia, Alabama, which, by the way, that's coming up tomorrow, but a week we will either be very right or very wrong. But just like when I picked Texas last week and I was wrong, but Georgia, Alabama, I think Alabama's going to win even without Nick Saban.
Yeah, we're in agreement there. We're in consensus, actually. Serber feels the same way. Let me phrase it this way: with Ohio State, they're scheduled to play 8 regular season games.
Sure.
Are they going to play 8 regular season games?
Well, how many do they have to play for it to count? This is a question we've asked multiple people. Whether it was Adam Kramer, asked Andy Staples about it. We got to get Auerbach back on to see if her philodendron is still surviving and thriving.
No chance.
Really? Giving it no chance.
I mean, chances are slim. It's an underdog. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow. I think it's going to be – I don't know. I haven't asked her about it. I will say this. I have not talked to her about it. I have not asked about it. So I don't know the answer to this. But I do know that my next-door neighbor has one outside that is growing right now. And Auerbach's apartment can't be worse than outside.
Speaking of outdoor plants, my mom wants to send you a picture of her container garden. She's back in Atlanta. She was having some technical issues before the show. So
we'll do that. Let's do that next week for sure.
It's coming. So just prepare yourself.
I'm ready. I'm prepared. Send those things. Send that in. I am. We forgot to do this. Tech Corner. iPads are on the way. Got a bunch of cords and wires for the projector. But I wanted to ask you guys a question about this because we are going to talk about lawn reno, lawn care, basic home upkeep still too. Like this is not just gardening. We are this old house essentially. And does a snake count as tech?
I don't understand the question.
Like a snake like you use on your toilet to get a clog?
On a drain and stuff, yeah.
Tech,
or just does that just count gear. As home repair? It's gear. Okay, that's so it counts. Gear. It does count as gear. Okay, yeah. I bought a snake.
Nice.
25
foot. Have issues?
Yeah, I mean between my wife's hair and my daughter's hair and my hair, like my beard hair, it's
we got that too. I got one for the shower.
Okay. So get a snake. They're actually pretty cool. Like we got one of the drum ones. That you push down all the way, you push it all the way down, and then you kind of reel it back in.
Ah,
yeah. It's not pretty.
It's not great. It's gross. It's not. It's it's not a great. It's not a great task. But the payoff at the end is you're not standing in an inch of water while showering.
Bingo. Love it.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but can't you just pour some chemicals down the drain? Isn't that?
It doesn't work as effectively, my man.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That worked like the first two times.
Right. And then it just builds up, doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. I'm a hairy dude.
I was going to say, both of y'all have got some serious hair going on the face. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And my wife has very thick hair. Like her hair is super thick. My hair is super thick.
Yeah.
So even if like a little bit comes out, it makes a difference.
Yeah, we've got three different hairstyles in this house and like types of hair. Not like, well, I guess we do have three different hairstyles too,
right?
Like updos and whatnot. But we have three different types of hair, and it's a lot. But I bought a snake, so that was my new. I was like, you know what? I don't own this house. We're renting here. We're owning Charlotte, but I feel good about getting this snake. This is going to go a long way. This is going to work out for me. I feel good about this. So just wanted to ask that. By the way, Hartzell, The Blitz, tell folks about it.
I mean, it's the greatest radio show you've never heard of. It's on XM 84, noon to midnight. Those times are Eastern. And actually, they drop off around 8 o'clock for the national game. But ESPNU Channel 84, Sirius XM, it is Red Zone for college football. All right. Everyone knows what the red zone is. It's revolutionized the NFL Sunday experience. This is that on radio.
Yeah.
And the beauty of this is, unlike red zone where you can go quad box, right? Picture in picture. We've got four teams in the red zone. You can see it all happening. This is radio, so we can't do that. Oh, yeah. That would be two radio feeds competing over each other. That would sound horrible. So instead, we just bounce around, and this is great for working in the yard. Like,
yes,
if you want to pass on the noon games and you want to get stuff done, you want to drive around, you want to be outdoors, hook up a Bluetooth speaker. You can also listen to it on TuneIn for free. Just search for the College Sports Now channel, and it'll buffer up and start playing. I look forward to getting your feedback on this now that you have to start traveling. Oh yeah, Saturday.
I'll be listening. I'll be listening. Go ahead.
I have a hack for all you, because Hartzell did describe it like you can't. It's not really like NFL red zone where there's quad box. But hey, guys, do better. It's 2020. If you have the ESPN app on your laptop, you can, and get yourself an HDMI cable. You can go quad box on your laptop. Open up four different browser windows. Get four different games going. The four that you're most interested in. Throw those up there. Get them all playing at the same time. It's on a little bit of a delay on the internet, but so is the stream on TuneIn for the Blitz. Most likely, you will have that game up on your television in a quad box style for the whole thing. That's how I do Saturdays now, because I have to watch several games at once to tweet out highlights and so on and so forth. So I just go quad box on the laptop, and I have the Blitz going audio. All those games are muted. Audio's on the Blitz. It's better than the NFL red zone that way.
Wow.
Because I'm producing at that point. I'm not letting him say, hey, let's go to Kansas City. They're at the 30. No. I've been at Kansas City, baby. I've been in the quad box the whole game. And if I really want to get weird, I can pull up Fox. I can pull up CBS. I could have 12 games going with the Blitz if I want.
Folks, we got to welcome in Martin Rickman, returning guest. Rickman from Dime Magazine. Martin, give everybody your social where they can find you, follow you, pick up your work and everything.
I am no longer on social media, so follow Dime Up Rocks on Twitter and Dime Magazine on Instagram, and promote, follow, share all the great work that everyone on my team is doing. I do my best to still push that stuff forward, but yeah, I'm on a social media hiatus for the indefinite future, and when Twitter went down, I was about as happy as anyone has been. I mean, I felt like it was my birthday. I was like, oh man, we're finally free. We did it, but it came back. So,
no, I mean, I wanted to give you a chance to mention that because
you set me up, man.
We were on G chat as it was down. And I was like, oh my goodness, is it done? Is it over?
And I thought that was like, did it.
We finally broke it, but no, it's, so yeah, make sure you follow the work though. You're out there making sure people are putting out good content. You got a great team at Diamond Up Rock. So, but we want to talk lawn construction. And for anyone that's listened to Hand in the Dirt or College Sports Now, which is the other show that Hartzell Server and I do together, you have heard my construction. It is not lawn construction. It's not yard. It's not anything outdoor house construction that I'm in control of because I live in a complex and they tell me when someone's just going to have, when I just have three guys on my deck drilling while I'm in the middle of doing a show. So because Hartzell has just completed some construction, you're in the midst of some construction, let's get into it. Talk about what project you're working, what you have them working on right now. And then we're going to get into sort of the do's and don'ts or how you're going to fix some things that ultimately are going to have to be done at the end of the day.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying, like, I've never done or been a part of a project this big before. I mean, you see all the shows on HGTV and they're like the part they rush through, except for when there are super bad consequences and disasters, is the like framing, foundation, all that. That's boring. So they just go right through it and then they move on and then they're putting fixtures in and picking backsplashes and stuff. And that's the part that is not fun, because they're literally, these dudes are out here digging and then pouring, mixing concrete by hand and using the kind of like mobile mixer that they've got and hammering away. And it is not an enjoyable experience for both the person doing the physical work and anyone that's around it. Like, we've got just dirt. I mean, we're talking about that there is dirt everywhere in my house right now. Like, the grass is toast. So we decided pretty early on, just throw everything you want on it, kill everything, kill the weeds, put the wood on top of it too. And we'll just start this whole thing over again. But yeah, I'm doing an expanded back bedroom. I mean, this was something we talked about doing before any of this even started. I mean, we started the planning stage, the design stage, and then got like permit requests and architecture plans in. before COVID. And I mean, the timing could have been better, I guess, but it also could have been worse because we see the cracks start to show mm-hmm. when you're in month six, month seven of working from home, when you got two people doing it at the same time and like not a really big space. So it's going to work out really, really well for us, but we're expanding that out and then adding a bathroom so that, you know, it's a much more, you know, realistic space for us out here. I had every intention when we moved in of saying like at some point, if I'm here longer than 2 years, which is a big deal for me because I've already beat the amount of time that I have my Charlotte house, which is wild. Like, I didn't think I'd be in LA this long, but you know, a global pandemic helps that. But also, you know, I really like being in Long Beach. So yeah, we're expanding that out through the into the backyard, but it requires kind of like the full gamut. We've got plumbing, we've got electrical we have to do because we need a new panel to support that. And then, you know, there's framing to be done. There's walls coming down. It's really like my first taste of every single portion of what we've watched on these home renovation shows. And there's even a little bit of roof work that has to come into play. There's landscaping that has to be done. It's to this point, all the work that I've done, like we've done some electrical work and I know what goes into that. Some plumbing, but nothing crazy like a main line fix or anything like that. And then, you know, like I replaced a couple gutters when I moved into Charlotte when they literally fell over during a rainstorm, but never anything that like required designs and plans and drawings and, you know, teams of, you know, there's five or six dudes out there jamming. I mean, they were playing Pink Floyd a couple days ago and I wanted to come out there and sit with them, but I also didn't want to like make them mad. So I just was enjoying it from the kitchen.
Oh, I love that. And server, we got to shout out to Pink Floyd. We talked about that last week.
Anytime we get a shout out to Pink Floyd.
No. We're a college football show about gardening. So we're going to ask you, I'm going to get to the landscape part of this because you mentioned that you're going to have to do some landscaping. How has that impacted the fruits, like the fruit trees and everything that you've had? And what are the plans going forward when it comes to redoing the lawn and figuring out how to kind of, if you can and if you will, be able to kind of beef up the landscaping element?
So fruit business is still booming. Luckily, nice. That's the other side of the yard. So I've kind of a strange setup because my yard is basically bisected by the garage and the breezeway patio that I've got. So the one side of the yard has remained almost in its weird idyllic state where nothing has really been messed with until they started drilling that hole to create the plumbing. But that's going to be a really short process for them, I think. All those trees are still chilling. The apple and the guava are on the other side, but they're far enough away from the work that basically they're just being neighbors with some dirt right now. But the guavas are actually coming in and they seem like they're hanging tough. So I'm hopeful that the guys working or at least snagging a few of them, before they drop. I've got to collect a bunch of those probably this weekend, I would think. I just wanted to stay out of the way. And, you know, with the days getting shorter, it's a lot harder for me to, you know, basically take stock and survey what's going mm-hmm. on because they work up until it's dark and then they're out of here. So I can't really see anything except for my iPhone flashlight, you know, on that side of the yard. Apples are, they're chilling, but it's not their time right now. Really the big thing is we got our limes back and that was one of those things. I use limes and lemons in pretty much anything I'm cooking. And so not having limes was just a struggle for me. I mean, you go and pick them up. We've got a really nice Mexican grocery that's like probably 400 yards from us. It's the closest store. So I any of my herbs that I need to pick up last minute or fruits or anything like that, I can grab there. But I had forgotten, you know, you get so used to having that as a part of your process is, okay, I need a lime. I go out to the yard. I pick the lime that I want. Now I got to go back to the store to add that in. And there's some things that, you know, you do take for granted, both from a store standpoint. I've been thinking a lot about food deserts during the quarantine era.
For sure.
How hard it is for people if they do have to do their shopping to drive 40 minutes, an hour, if you forget something. We're very, very lucky in where we are in Long Beach to have seven grocery stores within a mile to mile and a half. And that was part of me picking this neighborhood was knowing, you know, each of these things is this far away. But I, you know, remote locations and places that are difficult, and also anyone who you know, maybe in North Long Beach or other areas of Los Angeles where they don't have the fresh produce and you know you're at home every day, that those that time starts to compound on itself and stack up, and almost like how sleep debt is. If you don't catch up, it takes twice as long to catch up from the catch up. That's how I feel about nutrition right now. And it's amazing. You've got some people like Roy Choi doing like really, really good work in that space out here. But that is something that absolutely needs to be fixed. And we're lucky we've got some representation in Long Beach who have admitted that, and they're working on some projects, especially a couple miles north of me. But yeah, I mean, you really start to see the cracks show in infrastructure, both locally at home with some of this stuff. And then, you know, like you go out to citywide to obviously nationally, we're seeing,
sure,
you know, all of the problems from, you know, a preparedness standpoint. But, you know, you really do. And these things with college football start to come into play a lot because everyone talks about adversity and seeing who your true, what your true colors are and what you're made of. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of the teams too, is there is no way to plan for everything that is happening this year. You've got games being postponed, you've got positive tests, you've got guys needing to move, you don't know if you're going to have fans, you don't know if you're going to play a game. The teams that are the most prepared, the most adaptable, are the ones that are going to be okay. And it really starts with leadership, but it also starts with, you know, what did you tell your team in camp, which was not a normal camp too. And that's what we're all learning right now, is like you've got to be flexible, you got to be multiple, and if you're not, you're going to fall apart. Even no matter how planned out you were and how prepared you were for what you thought was going to be a 6 month, 10 month sprint, there are always going to be things that pop up that you just either have to laugh at or you've got to, you know, adjust. You can't be rigid. This is not a place where you can just say, this is who we are, this is what we're going to be. You're going to fail, whether you're a person, whether you're a team, whether you're a coach. I mean, it's been a real interesting lesson in psychological stuff, but also just in like how we are as human beings.
Hey, Martin, what are you going to do about the side of the yard that's all tore up right now? What are your plans? Because that's the last thing you can do, because you got to wait until all that stuff is gone. So what are your plans? Are you going to lay down some sod, or are you going to go like rock garden? Like, what are y'all going to do?
So that was a really nice big yard. The grass was okay, not great. Luckily, you know, the good grass is actually on the other side of the yard where the trees are and where we've got like a nice little setup. I've got my hammock stand over there, and that is the east facing portion of the yard. So it's really good for afternoon because it starts to get some of that shade and the, you know, the heat doesn't come into play. So I think that's a big part of the reason why that grass has hung on. I'm all in favor of sod. I've got to talk to the whole team to see if that's what they're planning too, because I can't imagine they're going to want to keep, you know, one sliver of grass that didn't have, you know, people trampling all over it for 3 or 4 months. I would imagine just run it all down and get some really good sod down there and make sure that it's treated and ready to go, because, you know, we're obviously operating in a different set of playbook situations just because the weather is different here. I'm used to knowing, all right, here's when you plant, here's when you seed, here's when you treat, you know, weeds and everything like that. That's not really how it works in California, I'm learning. There isn't like a seeding season. They typically have said to me like the fall is still the time when you would do it, but I can imagine we could do it in December and we're gonna get away with it. So that's kind of what we're doing. The rock garden thing is something I thought about and we're instituting in the back of the yard. We had this really nice planter with a few cactuses, and that was the first thing that needed to be demoed. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose those, especially this tall one that's about 6.5 feet tall, has a couple arms to it. It's a really nice cactus. And I was like, yo, what do we do with this thing? It's been growing for God knows how long. The last thing I would want to do is see it just like thrown in a pile with a bunch of dirt. And we talked it out, and we found a nice little back corner of the yard. Still get some sun, but we're planting that, and I'm going to probably do some rocks and put some other succulents and things over there back in that area. I think that was a really nice compromise there for us, and I'm pretty hyped to see that come into action. But, yeah, that's going to be the part of it that's next stage. I mean, you've been doing some of that too with your yard, and you get a blank slate, but sometimes that blank slate is almost overwhelming because you don't know what – exactly what you want to do because of the entirety of the potential that you have.
Martin, yeah. The thing that stressed me out, man, is just the anxiety of things being a mess. Like, I don't know if you're like, I don't know if you're like that or not, but at some point you just have to let it go. And it sounds like you guys are living there while all this is happening.
Oh my gosh, man. I'll have to take some pictures so we can send them out along with this. But like, it looks hilarious.
Sure.
I mean, there's empty water bottles, obviously, because, you know, why are they going to throw it? This is already a trash heap. Just throw it on top of the trash heap. There's wood everywhere. The dog is the one who's struggling the most with it. She knows that her yard is not the way that it was. And she's losing her mind. Like, every day she looks a little bit sadder about it because she's used to what she knows and she doesn't have this. I can just pretty much be like, all right, I'm not going back there. If I don't look at it, it's not bad in my head.
Did they have to take out any of the fence?
No, the fence is all good, thank God. But, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you guys about this. I don't even think I told you, Phil, there personally. They delivered the wood, and I was thinking about you and me working, like, summer high school jobs. They did it in a way that was that. They straight up backed this giant flatbed into our driveway. And their way of getting it off the truck, because they didn't have a forklift, was to hit the gas and then brake immediately and try to slide this gigantic pallet of wood off so it would slide bit by bit. What ends up happening is this thing just drops into the ground. We're talking 2 tons of wood, maybe more. I knew. Second, I'm watching this on our Nest Cam too. I'm like, what in the world? This is truly like a high school solution. Like, oh, let's just get this wood off the truck so we can go deliver the next one. Somebody forgot to order the forklift. We don't have an extra one. It's on another job. Let's get this thing off here. No one can pull it. It slams. We're talking earthquake level. Whole house shakes. I'm in the garage doing like, I think it was either biking or doing core or something. Everything shook like an earthquake. And I'm like, oh, I bet the driveway's cracked. I knew it. It's one of those things, you know, that the mistake was a mistake, and I'm sure they knew it too, but they weren't going to say anything about it. I look out, it is through the entirety of the concrete. So that's another thing they got to replace. But it was one of those things I said, you know what? Now that it's done, they can do whatever they want to that yard. They can do the whole yard. They can rip up the concrete. They can trample on anything. It's all going to be replaced. And to me, that's almost a blessing in disguise, because we had talked about it. I extended that driveway and it was brand new concrete. And I said, if we can protect it, this is pretty important. And they worked on it. They tried. All bets are off now. We get the full rebuild. And so the process is real on that. But oh my gosh, those videos are hilarious. My contractor was just like, of course this happened. We'll take care of it. And I was just like, unbelievable. Like, it should have been a 16-year-old doing that thing and then just be like, oh, how do we get this thing off? Oh, let's just gun it and break and it'll slide off eventually. So,
oh, man.
It was like an It's Always Sunny episode.
Yeah. Hartzell, so you got a new playground.
Yeah, we got it. I mean, it's for the kids, Felder. It's not for me, but yes.
Not for you? Is there a tire swing?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it. So it is for you.
No, I mean, this is a Mac Daddy playground, but it had to get set in a corner of the yard where there needed to be grading done. So we had to level it out.
Oh, grading. Oh, my God. And so now you got to talk through this with me, because this is the part of it. That word scares the living hell out of me.
They did a very good job, right? Like, it wasn't a severe slope, but it was enough where, you know, when it rains, that's the corner that's the wettest. So they graded it out, and you're talking about probably a 2.5 foot drop from the high point of the slope to where everything needed to get graded out. And so we put some 6x6s in that corner, and it's been cut so that it's like a gradual kind of like staircase look. I mean, it's a sunken in playground. It looks great. Like, I'm awesome. Thrilled with how it turned out. But the takeaway here for me, Felder, and you're probably in the same boat, Martin, with, you know, the cost part of this equation. Okay, you want to accomplish one thing, but by doing it, there are several other things that are going to come with it, like the cost of lumber, the cost of mulch, like all of the other, you know, accoutrements to get you where you need to be.
Nothing is the price. You know, you even look it up and you're like, oh, this is how much this is. And nobody tells you, oh, yeah, well, the permit in this city is going to be this many thousands of dollars. And then you're like, oh, well, that's actually like an additional 10%. That would have been a nice thing to know ahead of time. But yeah, it's, the cost is wild, and that's the home ownership thing. I mean, we all talk about it. Anytime anyone talks about buying a house, it's nice because you can change it. You do whatever you want to it. It's yours. You've got your space. It's amazing. It's truly an incredible thing to have. But the cost when you want to do a project like this, yeah, you're 100% right. Because what were you supposed to, how do you even predict that? You, even if you knew, you didn't know.
Right, right. So now it's like there's mud all around the playground. So, I mean, it can't be a mud pit all winter. I mean, I could put seed down, but it's still going to be a mud pit all winter getting yeah, so in and out of the usable. Playground. So now we're talking about sod. Now we're yep. pricing out, you know, crates of sod. And so the wife is like, well, if we're going to put sod here, why not just do the whole yard? And it's like, babe, I love you. We can't sod the whole backyard. Like, we can't. I'll have it look weird for a couple of months, and then in the spring, it'll all kind of pop and kind of grow in. Go ahead, Felder. You want to get in here? Go ahead. What you got?
She suggested sodding the entire backyard. You have a big backyard.
Yeah. How big is it back there? It's too big. No, it's too big. Probably, I mean... What do you think, Cerber? 3/4 of an acre? It's too big.
It might be a little over an acre, honestly.
It's too big. Yeah, it's too big.
Resodding that, I can't even. How much would that cost?
So I was going to get into this, Felder. Do you guys want to guess what 500 square feet of fescue sod runs these days? You guys want to take a shot at that?
I recently Googled this, and it's an amazingly high number.
It is, but okay, so. I'll tell you, it's $240 for a pallet of sod, and that's 500 square feet. Now, this is fescue, obviously. If you want to go Bermuda, if you want to go Zoysia, that number is even higher, okay? But this is like bottom of the barrel, like swag fescue, right? So, you know, you start doing the math, and like 500 square feet, that's not that big of an area. Maybe it is in L.A., Martin, like where you are, like 500 square feet. You're like, all right, I only need two or three of these, and we're Gucci. But back here,
oh my goodness,
it's not sustainable. It can't be done.
What do you need, like 200 of those?
Yeah, so we're just going to do the area around the playground. We're probably looking at like 4 or 5 pallets a sod. But again, back to your point, like bulldozers are going, and they're doing their thing. People are walking. The grass is toast. It's not coming back. But if you need it to come back, and Felder, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like sod's the play here, man.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get a sod cutter too, though. You got to make like prepare that area for the soil sod because this is the thing. It's such a huge investment when you buy it. And I know they'd like that they slap you on the 1 year warranty on it, and they'll come back and they'll fix it. Your mother dealt with that, correct?
Yeah.
So I know that, but you also want the ground to be ready to take it, which means you got to get your lime in there for North Carolina. You got to get your fertilizer down and all those things so that it works out. But yeah, I just looked up. I did what Cerber did and looked up sod prices and.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness!
But here's the thing, guys. Like, have you bought grass seed lately? Grass seed is not cheap either.
And no, it's gone up for sure.
And so once you start adding that in with fertilizer or lime. Or any kind of like weed and feed and a seeder or a spreader, excuse me. I mean, you're starting to get up in the, you know, you're looking at like $400 or $500 for your project right off the bat.
Sure.
So,
yeah. But with sod takes that number and 10x's it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you wanted to sod that backyard, you're looking at like what, probably about 40, 50 grand.
I mean, it's going to be like a $10,000 project. It's not happening.
It's way more than that.
No, it would be more for sure. I mean, it's too big. If it's really what you said, half to full acre of trying to resod the back, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, now that there's a giant 35 by 35 foot playground square.
So we're looking at 20. If you're saying that what you're dealing with in terms of sodding is 2/3, and I went with the lesser one, 2/3 of an acre. We are looking at 29,000 square feet.
Yeah. So again, it's not happening. That's my point. It's not happening. We'll just have a checkerboard looking lawn for a couple of months. I'm good with that.
That's what you do, right? I mean, nothing is going to look perfect unless you started from the beginning on that. And unless you had a yard that was already totally done, you can't resod the entirety of it. If it was just a blank space, sure. I mean, that's probably the play because, like Felder said, you don't want to have to like mix and match, and you want to do it right. But I think you start with that space. You see how things grow in into the spring. This is where the planning comes into play with your yard, right? Like you're always planning 3 seasons ahead if you're doing it right. Well, you're in that 3-season space. So you're actually in a good spot because from a planning perspective, this is when you would want to do it. heading into next fall, when then you basically fill in the gaps, I think you're actually in a really good spot.
See, this is what I'm talking about, man. We're playing chess over here. This is beautiful. I love it. I'm stoked.
So I did the math, right? So I pulled it up, and we were looking at the how many square feet. So we're looking at 50. You need 50, I divided the 29,000 by 500 square feet, and that gives us 58. You need 58 of these 500 square foot pallets to get the whole yard done.
Yeah, oh my God. That's, yeah.
And I multiplied that by $500 per pallet, which gives us $29,000.
No, the pallet is $230 okay. per pallet.
Still. Okay, so that's little, solid, that's less.
Solid deal, but you still need it installed and you need it prepped and everything. Right?
Yeah, delivery is a $150 and
Bobcat.
Yep.
All that stuff. Yeah, because you're going to have to somebody scrape your entire top layer off. You have to prep. Like, I mean, so even if at $230, we're talking about $13,000.
Yeah, there's no chance. I work in radio.
Really just lets us know that Stan Cotton's the man, isn't he?
Yes. We need to get Stan back on here, man. I got to talk to him. You're right.
So I want to ask you guys.
Geeks, though.
Before we get you out of here, Martin, I know you got to go too, Hartzell. So I'm going to wrap the show here pretty quickly. I want you guys to go, give me really quick. Have you ever laid down some?
No.
Yeah, that's a no for me. I've never, it's always just been seeding everywhere I've been. But I've also been lucky because everywhere I lived until this point was places that had so much moisture. Like the rain was everywhere and I actually had decent yards. I mean, even in the spots where I was just renting those places, it was too good at growing. Like we had some
issue was bamboo.
Yeah, crabgrass and bamboo were the only issues in Charlotte. And then, damn, that bamboo, man, I could not be happier. That I don't have to. I mean, I still have nightmares about that stuff.
Yeah,
but no, I've never laid it down. I watched this guy. So we walked by, and I've been watching this dude work on his yard for like 6 months, and he laid all the sod down. It looks insanely good. But everything he did it all himself. But everything that went into it was not, you know, a sod arrives, you put it down. He has been working on this thing since January, February, and it's weekends when he puts it all the work in, scraping it, doing everything. I can't imagine doing it by yourself. And even if you got someone to help, it is one of those things where you think, oh yeah, that's why it's expensive. Like this is a lot. This is a huge project and you don't think about it because it's grass.
Oh, I have laid down sod. I laid down sod as a child when one of my dad's friends was like, we need help laying down this sod because he didn't want to pay for the labor. So that was us. And we got pizza at the end, which by the way, it's not good, but we laid down sod. And then I laid down sod when I was an intern in the construction area. And I interned in the construction field for Pulte Homes. And when we used to do home walks, they'd be like, oh, I don't like this piece of sod, or can we get a new piece of sod? So I had to go steal sod from a new build house.
No.
To take it to the house that was already sold to put new sod down. And you have to use a knife to like cut the sod to fit it into the hole and do all the sidelines, the whole deal. So it's a very, and you get filthy when you do it because the best way to move sod is on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You throw it up on the shoulders. You throw two of them, one on each shoulder, and then you roll it. Then you lay it down, roll it out, and you do that. So I've laid sod before. I have done that before. Folks, not to be too abrupt, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Martin, tell everybody about Dime again. And then, last question I have for you.
Yeah.
Because we're going into it with college football. Can you tell us what to expect with an extended college football season that lasts a lot longer than everybody is used to, because did it with the NBA.
Remember to hydrate. But other than that, just you got to stay patient with this thing. You're not going to keep the vibes up the way that you normally would. I mean, we're used to seeing a season that just we say, okay, you know, college football is 14 weeks plus camp plus bowls. But even with bowls, you get a little bit of a break before you head into it after the championships. So, like, Felder, I know you're this way, and Hartzell, I'm sure you're the same way. You've got your calendar kind of set when it comes to the college football season. So, you know, you've got that day circled, December 8th or whatever, when Army plays Navy, and you know, okay, that's what I got to get to. We don't know. Like, with the NBA, I truly had no idea when the season was going to end. And even after they said the bubble was going to be until X, and then the finals are probably going to be in October, they first said originally, all right, we're going to fire up the draft after that. And I was like, oh, my God, how? Like, what? How are you supposed to A, generate content, B, keep yourself from like wanting to lose it, and then also, you know, find a way to create time for yourself so that you can handle this marathon? I think just you got to be patient with it. You don't have to watch every single game. You don't have to pay attention to every single piece of news. This is the same way I feel about the political news cycle.
Right.
It is amazing how much we've had to think about politics every single day for 4+ years. How often did you guys think about the president from like 2000 to 2016? Like once a month? Once every couple of months? Like after a while, it gets so exhausting. So like, be okay with turning it off. If there's a Saturday where slate's not that great or your team's got a bye week, don't watch football. Like, I know it hurts your heart because it's against everything you stand for, and everybody's, oh, I hate fall weddings. How could I miss watching LSU play Georgia Southern? Like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever. No, just take a week off. It's cool. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be more football. Then next year there'll be more football. Then next year there'll be more football. But what you don't have is, like, your sanity. Once it's lost, you're gone. Like, this is a situation. We're not in a normal set of circumstances. There's been weeks where I've just said, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to stuff. I'm going to be off. I'm going to go be outside. I'm going to go for a long run. And if I come back and I missed like a crazy home run or a crazy over the wall catch, like we're just so used to being in it all the time that I think we don't know how to remove ourselves. And that's what's super critical right now, because if you don't take a break, like you're on overload. And it's what I've been learning with workouts too. It's like, I want to work out every single day. And everyone always said, well, rest days are important. You need to rest. And I said, well, what about recovery days? Can I still do a little bit? They said, no, you need actual rest days.
Right.
Your brain gets tired. Your brain is done. You're burnt out from that stuff. And like the NBA has been a 12-month league, kind of, you know, basically trying to mimic the NFL.
Yep.
But this is the true. I looked up at my pictures from a year ago, and I was at preseason Knicks games last year at this time, and they were playing the finals. And I said, it has been 12 full months of basketball. Now, there were a few weeks where they weren't playing and they were prepping the bubble, but even that wasn't time off because they were talking about that stuff the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't, there are times where you just don't need to know if Tulsa postponed a game. Like, I know the people who are the pros gotta care. Like, we all have to care. But if you're a fan, it's maybe not that important that you watch Kent State versus Miami, Ohio on a Tuesday. Maybe just take that Tuesday to do literally anything else. And no, don't beat yourself up about it. You're not a worse sports fan if you take a day off. Because even pros take days off. They need it. Your brain needs it. So, yeah, that's my spiel for that. But obviously, follow anything you want on Diamond. We want everybody reading everything every day. Otherwise, we're in trouble. But if you take a day off, just like click on links anyway. Don't read them. Just click on them and scroll down to the end and then X out of your browser.
I love it. Hartzell, listen, we got an email from a guy, John Welch, John W. So shout out to John found us through when I did the Three Rivers podcast. And he said he listened to the entire back catalog of the show. So thank you for that.
Shout out to John. Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to John for listening to the back catalog. He's really enjoyed it. He's a lifelong Tar Heel, and he's looking forward to Mac Brown taking on, at this point, Florida State, but Mac Brown in general going forward. So I just wanted to give him a shout out on the show. And I think that's about it, folks. This has been the show for Martin Rickman, for Michael Serber, for Stephen Hartzell. I'm Michael Felder. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Let's grow.